Chapter 6. The Man with Red Eyes. Together, they walked through the big door of the Central Intelligence Center. Inside, there was a large hall. People were sitting and waiting. They looked up and saw the children, and then they looked down again. All the men were wearing the same clothes.
"What do we have to do?"
Charles Wallace asked the nearest man.
"Put your card in the A machine, of course," said the man.
"Where's the A machine?" asked Calvin. The man pointed to a wall.
"But there's nothing there," said Meg.
"Put your S card in the B machine," said the man.
"Are you playing games with me? If you play games, you'll go into the teaching machine. You don't want to do that."
"We're visiting here," said Calvin. "Can you show us?"
The man stood up and took the children to the wall.
"I hope you don't go into the teaching machine." "I was in the teaching machine once, and I don't want to go there again," he said. "And I really don't want to go to it."
That boy talked about it, thought Meg. "What is it?"
The man took a card from his pocket and held it against the wall. The card disappeared into the wall, and the man went back to his seat. Suddenly, the wall was not there, and the children were looking into a big, long room. There were a lot of machines in it. Meg saw red and green lights.
"They're computers," she thought.
People in white clothes were working, but they did not look at the children. The children walked down the center of the room. Suddenly, Charles Wallace said,
"Hold my hands! He's trying to get into my brain!"
"Who?" asked Meg.
"I don't know!"
"Let's go back," said Calvin.
"No,"
said Charles Wallace.
"We must go on."
At the end of the room was a platform. On the platform was a chair, and on the chair was a man. Meg looked at him, and she thought of the black thing.
"It's good to see you, children,"
the man said. His voice was soft and kind, but his eyes were bright and red. His mouth did not move, and the words went straight into Meg's brain. Charles Wallace closed his eyes.
"Don't look at his eyes,"
he told Calvin and Meg.
"I don't need your eyes. I can do it another way," said the voice.
"If you try to get into my brain, I'll kick you,"
said Charles Wallace. The children heard a laugh.
"Will you, little man?" said the voice. "But you don't need to fight me. I can decide everything for you. Then your lives will be easier."
"We will decide things," said Charles Wallace.
"Yes, of course," said the voice. "We can decide everything together. That will be better and easier for you."
"No,"
said Charles Wallace.
"You're trying to get into our brains." please?" asked Meg. "Is our father here? Where is he? Can you tell us?"
They heard another laugh.
"Your father? I can tell you, young woman. But will I tell you?"
"Will you? Please," said Meg.
"Why do you want your father?" asked the voice. "He hasn't been a good father. He's left you."
"He was working for the government," said Meg. "We want to see him, please, now."
"You must be patient, young woman. And you don't need to speak, you know. I understand everything in your brains already."
Meg was never patient. It was one of her faults. Suddenly, Charles Wallace ran up and hit the man hard.
"Why did you hit me?" asked the voice.
"I don't trust you," cried Charles Wallace. "You aren't you. Someone is talking to us through you."
"Very clever," said the voice. "Then who am I? If you look into my eyes, I'll tell you."
"It's dangerous," Charles Wallace said to Meg and Calvin. "But I must do it."
"No!" shouted Meg.
"Who is this man? I must know,"
said Charles Wallace.
"No!"
screamed Meg.
"Mrs. Witch sent us here to stop the black thing. I must do it,"
said Charles Wallace.
"He's right," said Calvin, "and we'll still be with him."
"I'm going to do it. Don't stop me,"
said Charles Wallace. His blue eyes looked into the man's red eyes. Then he walked nearer to him. He turned and smiled at Meg.
"No!" screamed Meg again. "That isn't Charles Wallace! Charles has disappeared!"